Please open your Bibles tonight to Numbers chapter 9. If the sound booth ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? No, not quite. They're very helpful. Thank you for doing what you're doing back there, guys. Amen. Numbers chapter 9. We have been going through Numbers now for a few weeks, and when we started Numbers, we knew that there would be some things, preliminary things that would happen before Israel is commanded to march. I have good news for you. That is coming in Numbers chapter 10. So all of the gifts and the census and the organization, which, folks, the Bible's very clear. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's good for the woman of God too. Amen? Amen. And so God put this passage right here for you and for me. And as a pastor, I labor and endeavor to bring some things out of it that would allow you to maybe get some more from it and let the Lord speak to you. So we're going to be in Numbers chapter 9 tonight. We're going to be in verses 15 through 23. Let me ask you some questions before we begin. Think carefully. Okay. Yeah, I'll explain that in a minute. Think carefully. What are some things that God, that you know, no doubt about it, some things that you know God wants you to do this week? Some things you know God wants you to do this week. Okay, give somebody, get the gospel out, okay? Handing out tracts and talking to folks, okay? What else? Pray. How often? Pray without ceasing. Amen. But every day, amen. Pray without ceasing, okay? Read our Bible, amen. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and in the morning is the best time to start that. Amen. Linda? Okay, you want to elaborate on that, or do you want me to? Okay, walking in the Spirit means that the Spirit of God guides you through the Word of God. Amen? But we'll get to that in just a minute because I'm going to build some on that. Mark? Love others. Say it again? Love others. Amen. Which others? All of them. Okay? Donna?
It's kind of like that compared to others.
Compared
to
okay, build others up, edify folks. Amen? Okay? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Good. All right. That's good. Joanne? Okay. Be in church. There you go. There's one. I know where God wants me to be. That's one of the greatest things about church. Worshiping the Lord's the best and being around fellow believers and being in a place. I know where God wants me to be at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, right here. And at 6 a.m., I mean at not 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, right here. And at 7 p.m. on Sunday night, right here. Amen. What else? What else? Okay, hide his word in our heart. Keep going. You're doing good. It'll get harder, but you can do it. Come on, what else? Yes, sir.
Seek his will.
Okay, how?
Through reading, prayer. Through
okay. Just coming to know him. Tell me something that's his will that no one has said yet. There's a bunch of them.
That we love the Lord that God with all our heart.
Okay. All right, so put God first. Okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, what else? Thou shalt not. Okay, keep his commandments, okay? So, okay, now let me ask you with this question. In keeping his commandments, does that guide us in life?
Absolutely.
Are there some things that tomorrow that I could do or that I couldn't do based upon his commandments? Okay. You start to fill in some gaps, and here in a minute, you know what you can do? You can come up with a full week, can't you? Amen?
Amen.
All right, tonight, in Numbers chapter 9, and I need to explain to you, this is in regard to the camp. It is the nation of Israel that is being led by the Lord. And so I don't want to get too far away from that metaphor, but the nation of Israel is literally being led by the Lord. But folks, our church is led by the Lord, and we are led by the Lord.
Amen.
Just remember this. This is very important. I'll try to explain it clearly. The cloud and the fire that we're talking about tonight was right in the middle of the camp. If you weren't in the camp, you weren't close to the Lord. If you're not in church, and what do I mean by in church? Not just attending church. If you're not a member of a church, if you're not a participating, contributing, active, working member of a church, you're not close to the presence of the Lord. Amen? So we don't want to go too far with this. I had a high school Bible class about, 10 years ago, and I kind of knew who I was going to get. It was the juniors and the seniors, and two or three of the group that I had clearly did not have an interest in the will of God, and I thought, you know, what I'll do is teach them a class on how to find the will of God. I've still got those handouts. Might put them on my website sometime soon, but anyway, finding the will of God, to some people it seems like this terribly difficult thing that you just couldn't do, but they're looking at it in the wrong way. You just explained to me a lot of the things that are God's will. Amen?
Amen.
When I get up tomorrow, I know it's God's will. Now, you're going to see something in this passage as to when the people were to do certain things. And I'll save that for then. But let's stand for the reading of God's word. Watch three things in this passage. Watch the references to time. The word when appears quite often. The word even days, months, and years is in here. Watch the references to the commandment, because there are a number of times commandments are mentioned. And then watch the reference to journey. So when you see those three words pop out, kind of let that ring in your mind just a little bit as we read out loud, and then I'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, it's a blessing to hear the testimonies of your people. It's a blessing to hear the prayer request and to know that when we pray to you, that you promised us if we would ask, we would receive. And Lord, tonight we're depending upon that promise and others in the Bible that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, tonight we desire to hear from you, to see in your word specific things that speak to us. And Lord, we desire tonight to be changed and to be strengthened by what we see in the Bible. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to us clearly, that he would use me. And Lord, I give you all the glory for anything that you accomplish tonight with these people. We do pray for those that cannot be with us tonight, especially those that are ill. I also pray for those that may have chosen not to be here tonight, that you'd work in their hearts and bring them back to us safely. And I pray for our community, for the bus children, for their parents, for others in this area, that we could reach them with the gospel. Help them to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them, that he died for their sins. And help us to take that message to them faithfully this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is not a new thing that we see here. We've seen this all the way back in Exodus chapter 13. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible says in Exodus 13:21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So, as we know, it's been a little over a year since they came out of Egypt, and in that entire time, they've been led by this pillar, cloud in the day, fire at night. But now the tabernacle is completed, the tent where the presence of God appears in that Holy of Holies. And over that tent, anybody in the camp can simply look the direction of the tabernacle. In the daytime, they can see the cloud there. In the night, they can see the fire there. And they know something. I'm where I ought to be. It feels good to know where you ought to be. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back tonight? Wouldn't it really be good? I don't know what you have in this world that you're excited about, but I'm telling you, it pales in comparison to heaven. Not to mention the fact that, we have trials and we have burdens and we have struggles in this earth, and I'm looking forward to that rest. And one day God's going to give us that rest that he promised us for all eternity. It would be nice, someone might say, watch it, this is a trick question, it would be nice to live in that day when all you got to do is look up and there's that cloud. Yeah, I'm where I'm supposed to be. There at night, you come out of your tent in the evening perhaps and you finish dinner and you look over to that direction, whichever one it is, and you look up and there's that pillar of fire and you go, yeah, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And folks, when you're in the presence of the Lord, everything's okay. Yeah. Amen? Right. It's when you get out of the presence of the Lord that you start to have trouble. Someone says, wow, that'd be nice, Pastor. I wish we had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, and we could just look at something and see what God's will is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? Well, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing something, and I've read and read and read the Bible, and I can't find the answer. I cannot go into all the details of how God leads us tonight, but you're not new at this. You could tell me some stories of how God has led you as well. Amen? I can tell you this. When you know what God's will is, do it.
Amen.
And you'll be surprised at how that government in your life, that control in your life, that commandment is the word used here, will guide the rest of your life. I heard a preacher preach a really good message on this in Texas one time, and he made this comment. He says, people are always asking for the will of God, but what they don't remember is that the last time he gave them his will, they didn't pay any attention to it. Like, Pastor, I haven't got time to go to church. I don't have time to serve God. I really don't care much about what God wants, but I sure wish he'd show me his will for my life. That's sort of like the coach with the football player, and the guy's out of shape, and he won't show up for practice, and he comes to the coach and says, Coach, put me in the game. No. You need to come to practice, and you need to get in shape. You need to learn the plays. Then you can get in the game, amen?
Yeah.
And when you and I want God's will, you may be surprised of how much of God's will you already have. And folks, it's when we follow that, that he can lead us further. I want to just show you the passage in general and give you a few thoughts about it. And let's talk about this pillar for a minute. And I do think that there is certainly an application here in regard to the Word of God in our church and in our life. But the pillar, you can see this without digging very deep. It gave them direction, didn't it? Sometimes the pillar was taken up. It was time to move. Sometimes the pillar tarried. It was time to stay. Sometimes the pillar would stay for a few days. That's fine. We'll stay for a few days. Sometimes it tarried for a long time. Sometimes the very next morning, the pillar would move and they would go with it. It gave them direction. You know, we have a problem with being dishonest with ourselves. And what I mean by that is, we'll ask ourselves the question, I hope you're willing to ask this question, am I in God's will? And then we'll say, oh yeah, I'm doing fine. Let me apply that in a secular example. I can say to myself, how am I doing on my diet? Oh, I'm okay. Let's have some ice cream. Amen? I've told you my great weakness is a block of cheese and a cheese slicer, and I can finish that thing off in no time. How am I doing? Well, I'm doing okay. We really need to remember something. This Bible is very precise, isn't it? Someone could say, I wonder if I'm following the pillar or the cloud. You haven't got to wonder too much. Just see where you are. Look up. Can you see it? By the way, common sense, what's the first thing they had to do to know they were in God's will? They had to look. Amen? Yeah. Now, if you walked around with a blindfold on, you wouldn't know. If you refused to look that direction, you wouldn't know. What's the first thing you and I are going to have to do to find out if we're in God's will? We got to look. Amen. Amen? And we look and we say, hey, oh, look, here's something God wants me to do. Here's something God doesn't want me to do. And folks, he'll guide you, won't he?
Amen.
Say something else about that pillar. And the Bible says this, we read it just now, it gave them light. And we talk about that an awful lot, and I've given illustrations an awful lot. Probably every one of us has stubbed their toe walking around the house at night in the dark. Just turn the lights on. No, I can't do that. I wake my wife up. Okay, get a flashlight. You know, something. When you walk around in the dark, you're going to get hurt. Amen?
Amen?
It gave them light. It showed them where to go, where not to go, when to go, when not to go. It gave them protection. Did you remember? They came out of Egypt, and the pillar of fire kept the Egyptians away from them. Do you know where there is safety? There's safety in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Someone says, you know, I know I should be in church, but I really would like to do this instead. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. A little child in the mall, he looks in the stores and sees all the toys, and mom's not going in that store. He sure wants to go see in that store. He decides to walk away from mom. He's in danger, isn't he?
Right.
You and I, we get distracted in the world. We think, you know, I really would like to have that. I think I'll go over here a little while. I'll go back to God later. Yeah, you might. What if he moves? And illustration fails a little bit there, but I will tell you this. When you get away from God, sometimes it's hard to get back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mostly because we tend to like to stay where we are instead of realize until we get hurt. And then all of a sudden, we really do like to find God, don't we? So it protected them. It was continual. Now, look here. You see the word in verse 16? It was always. So it was always. I just want to say something to you. God is willing to lead you all the time.
Right, amen?
Amen? The devil is trying to get you away from him all the time. You're going to have to pay attention.
Amen.
Some people have already wandered off, and now they're having trouble, and they wonder, why are things going so bad? Well, you should have stayed with the Lord. He's willing. By the way, he's willing for you to come back, too, if you would. It was continual. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 38 says this, "The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." It was available. Anybody in Israel that said, I don't know where God wants me to be, most of the other people would say, well, have you looked at the cloud lately? It's right there. Have you looked at the fire? I don't know what God wants me to do. I just can't understand where he wants me to be. Well, turn around and look. I don't know what God wants in my life, Pastor. I just can't find his will. It's right here. Now, I understand something. I'll tell you a couple of stories here. Hopefully these are new, but anyway, quick. Sometimes there's decisions we have to make, and we're looking for God's will, and we're not sure. I think God can protect us in those situations. We moved to Salt Lake City, and we were trying to find a house. And I was having a devotion one morning, and the Bible said, I will build you a house. I kind of like that. Praise the Lord. And so I thought, you know, I really think God wants us to find a house. And we looked into building, and we couldn't afford that. And then we looked at houses around the church, and we couldn't afford any of them because of the part of town they were in. And so I tried to buy a house. I made an offer on it, and the lady turned us down. And then come to find out, there was a couple in our church that was selling a house. And long story short, we bought it, and I found out something. When that house was built, all the people that had built it were Christians. The fellow that built it had hired Christian. He made a point of getting Christian subcontractors to come in and do the heating and the electrical and that kind of thing. And even the carpet and stuff had been put in by Christians. God built me a house. Built our family a house. And now, God knew which house he wanted me to have. And when I tried to buy the wrong house, he said no. Folks, when you're looking for God's will, he can open and close doors. Please don't assume every open door is God's will. The child in the mall sees the open door in the toy store. Oh, that must be God's will. I want to go to the toy store. No, just because the door is open, I just have to ask you, first of all, we'll see more of this as time goes on in this passage, but did you pray about it? Amen? Are you looking for God's will? Are you caring enough to do those things that are God's will? And then there's just that much more where that came from, if you will. It was never ending. It was their only guide. It was in the group. It was in the camp. And so what were the things that they were doing? And if you see those words I was telling you about, in 17, verse 17, it says, when the cloud was taken up. In verse 19, when the cloud tarried. In verse 20, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle. In verse 21, when the cloud abode unto the evening. In verse 22 at the end, and when it was taken up, they journeyed. Folks, God has a will, not just of what we do, but when we do it. Just saying, we go soul winning on Tuesdays now at 6 p.m. Come on out.
Amen.
Pastor, I can't make it every week. Make it when you can.
Amen.
Pastor, I can't make it on Tuesdays. We go on Saturdays at 10. Pastor, I can't make either of those. We'll find another time. We're still on for Tuesday? Amen? About 9 o'clock on Tuesday, Brother Hickson and I will meet here at the church, and we'll go out and knock doors. If two more people came, he'd take one, I'd take one. We'd knock twice as many doors. Last week, a lady named Caprice. I remember that because of the salad. A lady named Caprice got saved. Sure glad we went. Wonder who would get saved if you came this week. Hey, when? Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Amen.
Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Wednesday, Saturday at 10 o'clock. You say, Pastor, I can't go any of those three times. We'll find another one. But the point is, there was a time to serve God. Now, you're going to like this next part, okay? There was a time to rest. I think I could memorize this verse really quick if I needed to. In verse 18, as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. It tells us again in verse 23, it says, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. Does God know you need rest?
Amen.
He does, amen? And he also knows you need to work sometime. I've found out something about rest over the years. And that is that rest can be addictive. In other words, you rest a little, you want to rest some more. Brother Mark's smiling back there. He knows what I'm talking about. You rest, you think, oh, that felt pretty good. I think I'll do that for some more. And before you know it, you're resting all the time. And then the Lord built you this way. All of a sudden you realize, I'm not doing anything. This is terrible. And you might feel a little guilty about it, or you won't feel satisfied. I'll tell you that much. You know what's satisfying? Is when God uses you. Amen? At the end of the school year, all the teachers, you know, they're, oh, I think I can go one more day. And so they're all, I don't know if I can do this again next year, Pastor. I've heard that so many times in Maryland. I thought, okay, well, wait till August. In August, they're, oh, let's do it again. Well, let's go. and they're rested up after the summer. God knows we need rest. He also knows we need work. Amen? We need them both. So the cloud didn't stay in one place for years and years and years and years and years. But when it did stay there, it's time to rest. When it moved, it's time to go. And you need both of those in your life. Say, how much? Well, as much as the Lord says. Amen? And that's what was happening. Sometimes the cloud tarried. Sometimes it was taken up. Sometimes it was a few days. Sometimes it might be a year. During those times, when the cloud moved, they journeyed. There's a word in the Bible that you need to remember. It's a very important word. It's the word go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen?
Amen? Go. We need to be on the go. As a church, we need to be on the go. Say, Pastor, I love to come to church and sing the hymns and hear the preaching. You know what that's for? That's to strengthen us up so we can go. And maybe some folks come to church and get saved. I hope they do. Invite them, pray for them, beg God for them. But we're going to have to go and get them if we're going to reach the world for Christ. A lot of folks will never darken the doors of the church. You're going to have to go to them. So there were times when they would journey. There were times when they would pitch their tents and rest. Verse 17, verse 18, verse 23. And when they did that, look at verse 19. Watch this. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Now, this is a little bit thin here, but just stay with me. The charge is kind of like the commandment. It's the responsibilities. When you have an ordination service and you ordain somebody for the ministry, someone preaches a message. They sometimes call that message the charge. It is your responsibilities. And they'll tell you, they'll remind you as a pastor what your responsibilities are. Folks, even when we're tarrying, we still have responsibilities. Amen?
Amen.
For example, we rest. We like to rest in our tents, but when they were resting in their tent, they were still doing the work of the Lord. They still had the tabernacle to serve. There were still sacrifices to bring. There were still things to be done. Don't think that God doesn't have anything to do for you except on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, and Tuesday night. There's stuff for you to do all week long. And as you go through your walk in life, tomorrow, you're going to go somewhere. You're going to see somebody. Give them a track. Amen?
Amen?
Somebody's going to talk to you. You know, you can reach a lot of people just by being nice. You know, you go to the store. There aren't very many nice people left in the world anymore. You notice that? And you're just nice to somebody, and at first they're like, oh, this is not normal. Why are they being nice to me? And then they kind of like it, and they'll get nice with you too. And then you can say, oh, by the way, why don't you come visit us at church? Or let me give you a pamphlet that would explain to you what God did in my life that would make me different, and he can do that for you too. Amen? We have a charge to keep. We have things to do all the time. And don't forget that. Someone says, well, Pastor, I'd like some time of my own. You really wouldn't. Because when you start wandering around and you're not where the Lord wants you to be, doing what the Lord wants you to do, there's a lot of trouble to get into. I was a youth pastor for a number of years. Rule one of being a youth pastor, keep them busy. If you take young people and you give them half an hour of free time, you could rephrase that half an hour of trouble time. They will find a trouble to get into. They want to be entertained. So we'd take youth trips, and then about 2 or 3 days in, these guys would come to me and say, Pastor, can we please have a break? We've been busy the whole time we've been here. Yeah, I got a plan. I'm not letting you get in trouble. You're going to keep working. When we get home, you can rest. Yeah. Folks, when we get preoccupied, entertaining ourselves, forget about God, take our eyes off the cloud, that's when we get in trouble. There's a charge to keep. And then there was the abiding in the tents, and I'll just say something about that. When God puts you somewhere, stay put.
Amen?
Amen? I remember my elementary teacher teaching me secular wisdom. Benjamin Franklin was supposed to have said, a rolling stone gathers no moss. I'd say it this way, a rolling church member gathers no souls. Stay put. You ever notice something? People that change churches keep changing churches and changing churches and changing churches and changing churches. Got to Maryland, there was a lady in our church, and she had already left a couple of churches to come there. Sure enough, I'd been there about a year, and she left that church and went somewhere else. And folks, that's not the way God works. God puts you somewhere, Stay there till he moves you. Say, Pastor, I just don't like it there. I don't know. There's the pillar. Stay put. You ought to like it there. Amen?
Amen.
If God put you there, and that's a good question, by the way. If you're not where you're supposed to be, go looking for that pillar. But I tell you just a little hint, and I'll move on. When you go looking for the pillar, you should talk to the pastor first. Amen? Because a lot of the times people say, well, I just don't like it here, and all of a sudden they pretend the pillar is elsewhere when the pillar's right where it ought to be. So sometimes they journeyed, sometimes they pitched, sometimes they rested. They always kept the charge. They abode in their tents sometimes. Now, here's my question for you, and we're done. It's time for you to go to work and think with me a little bit. Be honest with yourself. Don't answer out loud. Be honest with yourself. What guides you? What guides you? I have a car. The car's got a steering wheel. So far, so good. It works. If I grab that steering wheel and I turn it that way, the car goes that way. If I turn it this way, the car goes this way. I used to have a boat in Utah. Somebody gave me the boat. It was an old boat. And we'd go to the lake on the weekend and on Saturday. And so one day, it's time to put the boat back on the trailer. And I'm driving the boat up to the trailer, and it was in one of those old boats. If you've ever seen one, it's got a pulley. The steering wheel is a pulley, and it's got a cable that runs back to the motor. And so when you turn the pulley, the motor turns one way, and the boat goes one way. And so my wife is waiting for me at the dock, and the trailer's in the water. And I'm driving the boat in, and all of a sudden, the pulley broke. And you'd have laughed. I didn't. But I'm out there in the loading area. Going around and around and around. I was not happy. Everybody's looking at me like, what is wrong with that guy? This is not the time to do donuts. This is the time to load your boat. We're waiting. We have to go next. And I had to stop and get out and literally pull the cable and pull the thing and finally got the boat on the trailer. You know, there's some Christians that are doing that. God turned the steering wheel and you didn't pay attention and now you're going your own direction. You're just making a mess of things. Folks, when God steers us, let's go the direction he steers us. Now back to my question, what guides you? You know what guides a lot of people? What guides most people? Their own personal preferences. I want, fill in the blank, that's where I'm headed for the toy store. I know that God's going down that way and he's got a plan for me, but I want that toy. And they're off on their own. That's dangerous. Here's the worst thing that could happen to you. Oh, by the way, God loves you. He'll come looking for you. But the worst thing that could happen to you is if God just let you go. And you got over there and you got that toy. You wouldn't be happy with that toy. So then you'd be looking around for something else. And God's half a mile down the road by now. What guides you? Personal preference? Pastor, here's what I want in life. I want people to like me, so I'm going to do whatever it takes for people to like you. I have bad news for you. You're going to have a bad life. Pastor, what I want is to be rich. Pastor, what I want is to be famous. Pastor, what I want is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, some teenager said. Pastor, what I want is, I don't know, I'm just telling you, if that's guiding you instead of the pillar, you're going to get in trouble. Amen? Sometimes feelings and emotions can guide us. I hope you've learned this lesson by now. For the younger people, you'll have to learn it later maybe, but I'll tell you this. If you let your feelings and your emotions guide you, you're going to be going all over the place. Because our flesh is going to feel bad sometimes. You know, when you feel bad, you know what you do? Keep your eyes on the pillar. When you feel good, keep your eyes on the pillar. The pillar moves, you move. Pastor, I don't feel like moving. I don't care. The pillar's moving. Let's go. That's where the safety is. That's where the light is. That's where the protection is. That's where the blessings are. You step into eternity, one of two things is going to happen to you. One of three things. You're going to be saved. You followed that pillar. God's going to reward you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You saved. You said, I don't care about the pillar. I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, you're going to be saved so as by fire. Yeah. Or you're going to die and go to hell. And sometimes it's hard to tell which of those last two categories people are in, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what guides you? Personal preferences, feelings, convenience. You know what's funny is convenience today is not convenience tomorrow. You say, well, Pastor, that was the easiest thing to do. Yeah, well, now look at the fix you're in. Now what's going to be easy? Nothing. Someone says, it was easy to skip church and do thus and so, and then God got your attention by giving you some consequences for that. All of a sudden, nothing's easy. Someone says, Pastor, you know, I really wanted to marry a certain person, and I didn't pay attention to what God thought, and now what do I do? Whew, wow. How can I even go there? Someone says, Pastor, when I was young and in my life, I just decided to live wickedly and do what I wanted to do, and now I've messed up my life. God can bring you back to a place of fellowship, but you won't always get back everything you lost. Be very careful that you don't follow the path of convenience. There's another one that you might follow. I don't think we have much trouble with this, but we might. You might follow another person. I'll just say it this way. If you're going to follow somebody else, follow somebody following the Lord. Amen? At least that'll keep you safe. Some people, they look at some famous person. I am so tired of the media pretending that what somebody in Hollywood says is news. So-and-so, such-and-such an actor thinks, oh, I'm done with that. Because I already know they're living their life to make money by fooling people. They're called actors for a reason. They're acting like that. That's not who they are. And they're acting that way because they want people to like them so they can make more money off of those people, because to them, you are merchandise. So I don't care what the actor thinks, except that every once in a blue moon, one of them actually is a Christian, but I haven't found many of those lately, have you? So you're following a person. I want to be like this athlete. I want to be like this Hollywood star or whatever. I want to be like this musician. A, you won't, and B, what about the pillar? What about the cloud? Amen? Where are the young people that are following the pillar and the cloud anymore? What guides you? Ask yourself that question. What guides you? I hope it's the Lord. Amen? And how's he going to guide you? Without getting into the details, he's going to guide you with the Word of God. Amen. So, when should we follow? Whenever you see the cloud move, it was a matter of appearance. It was a matter of knowing. They could tell. They had no question about that. They were commanded. When it moved, they moved. When it stayed, they stayed. And where did they go? I'll finish with this thought. Have you noticed how many times in the Bible that God told somebody to go somewhere and didn't tell them where? Like Abraham? God said to Abraham, get thee up and leave your country and leave your kindred, and I'll show you later where you're going. Does it really matter? If God's the one taking you, it's a good place to go. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, honestly, with all my heart, I can tell you, I have no doubt in my heart whatsoever, God brought me and my wife to this place. I love it. It's where God put me. You say, well, Pastor, could it be better? Not if that's where God is. Amen? Well, Pastor, didn't you want to go somewhere else? Who cares what I want? This is what God wanted. We've lived long enough. Most of us here are up in the years a little bit. Think of all the little twists and turns your life took that could have gone the other way and you'd have been in bad shape. I could have been adopted by a family that did not take me to church, and I could have died and gone to hell. I met my sister this year who's still unsaved. Pray for her. Her name is Linda. And I can just tell you, she's hard and cold as ice towards the gospel. And I could have been that way. I think God did a pretty good job.
Amen.
If I can trust God as a 3-day-old baby, can I trust him now?
Yes.
Amen? Oh, folks, please follow the Lord. He's willing to guide you. He's given you something to go by. And he might take you someplace you never, ever would have gone. I never would have thought Maryland was where God wanted me when I left Salt Lake City back in 2002. But you know, I was born in New Mexico. The farthest east I'd ever gotten was Texas. And all of a sudden, God says, Maryland? I'd have never thought that. And God was good to us in Maryland, and we saw God do some great things there. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, it would be nice to get back out west. But I had lived in Phoenix once already for a few months back in 86, and I remember it's hot out there. Wow, it's hot out there. And that's where God brought us. You know what? I kind of like it. Amen?
Amen?
And by the way, even if I didn't like it, it's the best place to be. It's where God put me. Are you where God wants you? Amen?
Amen?
Stay put until he says move. And I'll just tell you, he doesn't move you that often. If he does move you, he's got a purpose. And I'll just say this since it popped into my mind, and then I'll finish. You know, one of the ways to find God's will, ask yourself this question. If I do what I'm thinking about doing, is it going to help me to serve God better, or is it going to hinder me? Amen?
Amen.
If I make this decision, should I take this trip, should I take this job, should I move to this place or whatever, is it going to help you serve God, or is it going to hinder you? Now, it's not always that simple by a long shot, but I will tell you this. God leads us into places where he can use us for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a good thing. Next week, we're going to talk about the trumpets. And those were used to get people's attention. Why? It's about time to go to battle. I wonder if, and I'll just think ahead with you a little bit, if God's blowing a trumpet for our church saying, let's go, folks, time to go to war. Time to fight for some souls, amen?
Amen.
Time to fight for some children. The devil's got them. Let's get them back. Time to fight for some families. Time to fight for some people that have been lied to and deceived and beat up, and bring them to Christ. Follow the pillar, follow the cloud, amen? Let's all stand and pray.